This is The Business Breakfast with Owanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.
Here's Craig Earlham. Let's talk about Arcadia, as we must, into administration. Now, does that mean that there are little bits that people might want to pick out of the wreckage?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a number of brands within that group, some of which do better than others. So Topshop is the kind of golden goose here. That's the one which I think that there'll be no lack of interest in. But there's a number of other brands in that group where I just don't think there's going to be very much interest. The challenge is that regardless of which brands there is interest in, this is an entire group which has not caught up to the reality of the world we live in right now. They are very much retail outlets. They are not. They do not have an online presence. So even the brands that are saved is likely to come with some store closures and with redundancy. So regardless of how this plays out, I struggle to see, unfortunately, a situation in which there isn't mass redundancies for those brands that are saved and for those brands that are unfortunately left to die.
So there's all sorts of issues here. Many sympathies to the 13,000 staff who will become unemployed. Many of them will be women, of course. But there's a pension aspect to this as well, isn't there? Is this another Carillion?
It depends. I mean, we've obviously saw the pension aspect as well with Sir Philip Green with regards to BHS. They found a way to partially plug that hole with a contribution from Sir Philip himself. So I guess it depends on how much political pressure can be applied in order to try and get him to plug the vast majority of that hole. It's obviously going to be difficult, and it's going to be an extremely long process. I guess the most pressing impact is going to be the unemployment side of things, because it seems that we are seeing a large number of people becoming unemployed in that particular sector at this point, and that's going to be extremely damaging. This is obviously jobs which tend to be lower paid, which, as you say, impacts more women than men, and there's a whole range of issues in respect to that, and I think that's probably the most pressing issue right now. And the ideal situation is that as many of these businesses as possible can be brought out of administration, and as many shops as possible can be kept going as part of, prior to the any transformation taking place. Luckily, as long as Mike Ashley's around, you have to think that there's always going to be a buyer for many of these businesses.
Let's talk about Mike Ashley. I mean, is he still on the fringes as far as you can make out?
He's still the one of the vultures circling. I think he's shown an interest in the past. He did offer the firm a lifeline in terms of a loan, and if I'm not mistaken, he has said that he would be interested in as parts of the business. I mean, let's be honest, he's been scooping up various parts of the high street now for a number of years. Clearly, there's something that he knows that the rest of us aren't entirely aware of. Obviously, he's been successful with other part of his business empire, but it seems that there's now so many parts of the high street that are running into difficulties. Obviously, the story linked to with this story links quite heavily with Debenhams as well, which Mike Ashley's had an interest in the past as well. It seems that he still thinks that the high street has a future, and obviously there's going to be a lot of people which means a lot of jobs, who are going to be happy about that prospect. The question is going to be just how many of these businesses is he going to be interested in, because as I say, there's some which have much better prospects than others.
A former boss of Topshop, which was in the Arcadia family, she said that Philip Green was not a retailer, is not a retailer, he's a deal maker. And she also said that actually that sort of young person's fashion, if I can put it rather fustily like that, is a minefield. I mean, it's a terribly, terribly difficult business to do well in. You've got to be up to the minutes and all the rest of it. And he was a famous technophobe, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he was a famous technophobe. I think the best way I've seen him described is that he's an analog man in a digital world, and I think that pretty much sums it up. If you look at all the brands which fall under this Arcadia brand, none of them have a massive online presence, and he has not invested in online over the course of many, many years, despite the fact that others have done very well out of it. And it seems that he's not done very well on the high street either. I mean, I do remember a time when Topshop and Topman were very popular, even not too many years ago, but they were probably far more than I'll realise. Things like Burton's were very popular as well. And it just doesn't seem like he's kept up with the time. So he's faced competition online from companies like ASOS, Boohoo, and then he's faced online competition from Zara and Primark that have kind of edged him out in terms of competition, which is a shame because, like I say, many of these brands were extremely popular at one stage, and it just seems like a series of terrible decisions has left the entire group now in a very perilous situation. I do think some. In the case of some brands, it's not too late to save them, but I think it's going to take a massive effort because we know what these trends are like. It takes a lot of effort to get things for things to be popular, especially when you're talking about a younger demographic, so there is a massive job on their hands. And I just think with some brands that's going to be a bit easier, and with some brands I think it's going to be near impossible.
Let's move our attention to the cost-benefit analysis that's 40-odd pages long that Boris Johnson proposed and has published, and that has not convinced people. If you stand back from all this, I mean, it does, you know, cost-benefit analysis was something that was never applied to the precautions such as they were taken, or lockdowns and the rest of it, about COVID in the beginning. Are we shifting to an acknowledgement that actually the economy might just be trashed by all this?
Yeah, I mean, we have to remember that Boris Johnson's surrounded by various people. He is surrounded by scientists who I think get far too much public attention in terms of either the heroes or the villains when it comes to COVID. And I think that's completely wrong. But Boris Johnson himself has to take the advice of the scientists, and he has to take the advice of the economists, and he has to decide what the right balance is, because you can't just trash the economy until COVID goes away. So. This kind of cost-benefit analysis is going to be the type of thing which he has to base his views on as a kind of entirety, taking everything into account. The difficulty is, I feel like we've gone through a period of around 5 years where something like a cost-benefit analysis is kind of also based on things like forecasts. And I feel like we've gone through a period where trust in things like forecasts has been completely undermined. So it doesn't matter what he presents, he's always going to be told that that's sort of rubbish that we need to do this instead.
We've debated in the past, haven't we, the difference between a forecast and a scenario, and those two words tend to be synonymous, and of course they're not, are they?
No, and we need to remember that these things are always there to guide. No one's ever claiming that they are factual. No one's ever claiming that this is exactly how things are going. They're saying that this is with all of the information with hand, this is the best estimate that we can have. We can't predict the future. No one's sitting here like Mystic Meg around her little glass ball. This is a forecast based on all the evidence that we have to hand, and this is the best estimate that we have. And that's how people make opinions. That's how people make opinions when they're investing in businesses, when they're running businesses, and they're trying to decide where it is they want it to focus on. They're basing it on similar ideas, but it feels like, say, we've been through a period of 5 years, maybe a little bit more, where trust and faith in this has been completely undermined, and therefore we're in a situation now where, yes, maybe he might just win over in just enough MPs if Labour abstains in order to get this through, but there's just such a lack of trust in things like that now, which I think is entirely wrong, which means it's not going to be straightforward. There is going to be a continued rebellion, and we've got to remember this is about one set of tiered restrictions going into the new year. Once we've had the Christmas period, more severe restrictions maybe even another lockdown may be warranted, hopefully not, but we may learn a lot from the US Thanksgiving period, but I feel like rebellions that he's facing now are only going to increase.
Greg Earlham, thank you very much indeed.
This is The Business Breakfast with Owanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.